Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu salam rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sabbi ajma'in, ashadu la ilaha illallah wa ashadu an muhammadin abduhu wa rasuluhu ma ba'd. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hello? Yeah, okay, I have a microphone and you don't, and also we don't do mental telepathy, so we have to hear from you. So just make a lot of noise and let everybody think we got a big crowd here tonight. We're here in Ohio, and those of you online that are listening to this, this is a live broadcast, and we're going to be talking about terrorism or how to make a bomb in 6 easy lessons. It took them a minute, but this is Ohio, so I expected that. No problem. Okay. And if you'd like a rebroadcast of this and other programs, visit our site at islamyesterday.com, and you'll find all of our pre-recorded programs over there. But this is Islam Tomorrow, so we'll start broadcasting today. And we're going to start out by talking about what is Islam and who are the Muslims. And the first and foremost thing to do is to start out by clarifying some of the misnomers that have been circulating about Islam. A lot of people have told us that Islam is peace. Have you heard that? Islam is peace. But it's not true. The word in Arabic is salam. That means peace. The word in Arabic, Islam, doesn't mean peace. Let's find out what it means. It's a verb because the Arabic language is root-driven, so we're going to look at it and find out what that verb actually means. And it has 5 words within it. The first one is surrender. And that means that this is a total surrender to Allah. And we take reference from the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, in adina indallahi al-Islam. And the meaning of it is that for sure the only way of life that Allah is going to accept is that you surrender to what He has prescribed. And forget what it says in the English translations, because again they're going to have the same problem. But the word deen doesn't mean religion either, so that gives us a new aspect to look at. And it says in the Quran, وَمَا مِيَبْتَقِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ, whoever wishes a way of life other than what Allah has ordered for them, then Allah will never accept it, and in the hereafter, this one will be amongst the losers. So Islam requires full and total surrender. It requires the first word, surrender. The second word is submission. And Allah says in the Quran, in chapter 4, verse 65, Surah An-Nisa, but know by your Lord they have no faith until they make you, Muhammad, as a judge in all the matters wherein they dispute. And then they find no resistance against your decision, and they accept your decision with full submission. So this word is also in there. It's also mentioned in Quran in Surah Al-Hasab, and that's chapter 33, verse 36. It is not fit for the believing man, nor for the believing woman, that whenever Allah and His Messenger have decided any matter, that they would have any other opinion or option in the matter. So whenever Allah and His Messenger have set out of something to be the way that's incumbent on the believer, then the man and the woman are both totally and completely responsible to do that, which is to submit to that. Let's mention again obedience. Now, another form of this same word. These roots are aslam, taslim, silm, salam, etc. And they're all related to the word Islam. Obedience. And it says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 132, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Ati Allah wa ati Rasul. All you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger and those who are in authority. And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, you have to refer it to Allah and His Messenger if you believe in Allah on the last day. And that's better and more suitable for final determination. This is in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 59. And another verse in the same surah or chapter, verse 80. The one who obeys the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. But the one who turns away, then Allah has not sent you as a watcher over them. So this means that you can't force people. They have to choose to obey on their own. It's not obedience if you force somebody. Let's look now to the fourth word. So now we have, keep up with me now, we got surrender, submission, obedience, and now we're on sincerity or purity of the intention. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Inna ma'amala bin niyyah." Verily deeds are rewarded by intention, and whoever has the intention for something, he'll have the reward for that. And this is mentioning about the heart. So the heart has to be clean, pure, and honest. And Allah only accepts that which is pure and clean and honest. Sincere intention is the key to success or the failure of the one who is the believer. Let's go now quickly to the last of the words, and that word that we're looking for here is salam, peace. So we find that in fact peace is in Islam, and but it is only derived if we do the other words. And it's not just peace on earth, goodwill to man, and it's not peace in Middle East, although these are things we should strive for. The thing we're looking here for is a peace between us and our Maker. And this is a famous statement where I'm from in Texas: make peace with your Maker before somebody shoots you in the back. Because that's the idea. You have to make peace with a good Lord. And this is what it means to have salam with you and your Creator. And this is mentioned 58 times in the Holy Quran. It's certainly the most sought after condition of life for every human on earth. And peace is one of the attributes that Allah named Himself. Because in the Quran He mentions that He is Allah beside whom there is none other to worship. He's the King, He's the Holy, the Peace, the Watcher, the Almighty, the Compeller, the Supreme. Glory be to Allah. He is above all false worship that they try to associate with Him as partners. That's mentioned in Surah 59 verse 23. And in Surah Ankabut chapter 29 verse 2 and 3, Allah says, do they think that they're going to be left alone on saying we believe and that they won't be tested? For sure Allah is going to test them as He tested those before them, to show the ones that are truthful and honest and the liars in their falsehood. So once we humble ourselves and get rid of our egos, totally submit to the Almighty, and then worship Him exclusively and trust in Him in faith and action, all that we do, then this is the way we find peace in our hearts. And this is what we should be looking for when we talk about doing Islam as a verb. Now, I've said it was a verb. Now I want to talk about it as a noun, because it has also very clear reference to things that Islam stands for. So as a noun, what is Islam? In order for somebody to be in Islam, a Muslim, that's what the word Muslim means, one who does Islam, they have to believe and they have to do. So there is belief and then there is action to back it up. You've heard the expression, you have to, we heard you talk the talk and we want to see you walk the walk. Well, this is exactly what we're talking about here. Look to these six items mentioned here. These are considered the pillars or the rukun of Aqidah or belief in Islam. To believe in Allah, that He is one, unique, not like His creation. He is perfect in every way, and nothing compares to Him. Then we believe in the angels. The angels are made from light, and they follow the orders of Allah. They never make mistakes, they're never disobedient, and they're not boys or girls, they're angels. And by the way, the devil is not a fallen angel in Islam. Although he was with angels, he is not one of them, never was, because he has free choice, whereas angels don't. They're always obedient. Next, we believe in the books. The books include the Torah, the Old Testament, the scriptures from the prophets such as Abraham and Moses, the Zabur or Psalms of David and Suleiman, the Evangel or Injil or New Testament or Gospel of Jesus, and the Quran, which means recitation, that which came to Muhammad, peace be upon him. And with reference to that, by the way, Muhammad is not considered as somebody who wrote the Quran, because he didn't know how to read and he didn't know how to write. So what he heard, he recited, and that's why it's called the Quran. And whoever has Quran, they have it here in the heart, because you don't hold Quran in your hand. You can hold Mus'haf in your hand, which is representation or scripture, but that is not Quran unless you are reciting it. Just to clarify that point. Then to believe in all of the prophets since Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Suleiman and David and Jesus and Muhammad and all the others, peace and blessings be upon them all. This is a condition of belief without which a person can't be a Muslim. And when we say Jesus, we're saying a translation of the word Isa, because he's called Isa in the Arabic Bible. He's called Isa in the Arabic Quran. That's the one we're speaking of here. And he's known as the Ibn Maryam, or the son of Mary He is the one who was born a miraculous birth to show that He was the Messiah, the one who came on earth to fulfill scriptures from before. We don't believe He is God, and we don't believe in the Trinity, and we don't accept that Jesus is even like related to God, as in biological, like Son of God. However, we definitely believe He is the Messiah, the chosen one, and the one who came to fulfill scripture, and He has no earthly father. And in the same way, by the way, while we're on this subject, side issue, is that we believe that just as God created Adam with no mother or father, and created Eve with no father, that certainly it wasn't hard for Him to create this beautiful creation of His, which is Jesus, or the Messiah, the Christ, without a father. Because certainly He still had a mother. And all of this is to say what? To glorify Allah for what He is the one doing all of this creation. And He's the one we should look to as the creator. So this is the belief of the Muslims. Next, we mentioned the Day of Judgment. We believe as Muslims that there has to be a day of resurrection, being brought back, or Yawm al-Qiyamah, a day of standing, and then for judgment. And the Day of Judgment is very harsh and difficult for those who disbelieved, but easy for those who believed and did good works. So everybody will be brought back. This is good news even for atheists, because they will be brought back. Even the Christians and Jews and all the people, everybody, regardless. You don't have to say, only the believers are going to be resurrected. Not true. Everybody will be resurrected. The bad news is that the bad ones, of course, will go to hell, and the good ones will go to paradise, which is, of course, just as it should be. This also explains why some people would have a difficult time in this earth, yet they would have a beautiful place in the next life, because they were good people, yet they had some shortcomings in this life. Other people, on the other hand, you see them have everything in this life, and they're very bad. Well, that's okay after the Day of Judgment. That's why it's called Day of Judgment. You'll see those who are really bad will have to suffer for what they've done, for their iniquities. Let's look now to the last and final of the beliefs in Islam. And it's very important to believe in the qadr of Allah. This means destiny, predestination. A lot of people have difficulty with this because they figure, well, wait a minute, if everything is predestined, then how can I have any choice in the matter? If I don't have any choice in the matter, if it's not my will, then how come I'm going to be punished for it or rewarded either way? How would that be? And this is a very important consideration in Islam, without which we can't be Muslim. So therefore, there has to be a good explanation for it. What is this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, has talked about this subject many times, and that's one of His names, is Al-Qadir, from this same word, Qadr. And He is the one who planned everything and has all power to make it happen. And the question, well, then how is it fair, is very simple. Because you don't know the outcome, and you're not being graded on what happens, you're being graded on your intention, which we already spoke about. So if the intention is pure, clean, and you tried your best, even if it doesn't work out, you're still rewarded in a beautiful way by the Almighty, because He knows what you were trying to do. Now let's move to the five actions. These are the things that people have to do as a Muslim to back up what they said they believe. Because you say, I believe this, I believe that. Okay, fine. Now this is what's required. You have to make a public declaration that there is only one God, and that this is the message brought by all of the prophets. And that's when you say Muhammad or Rasulullah, you're saying that Muhammad is confirming what every prophet before him said. They all said the same thing. And he's the last of the prophets and the lawgiver. The last lawgiver. And so that has to be in place. Then the next thing is to establish five daily devotionals. Or they call them salawa or prayers. These are facing Mecca. And they're performed similar to the way the prophets did centuries ago. And that is to bow in front of their Lord and to prostrate and to put their head on the ground, or as the Bible says, fall on their face in front of the Lord. Then the fasting. We're in the month of Ramadan, so this is pretty easy for me to remember about this subject right now. There's no eating, no drinking, no intimate intercourse with the spouses during the daylight hours, but then after the dark, then of course you can eat and drink and make merry until the day starts again the next day. And this is on a lunar calendar, so it changes every year within the sun calendar by 11 days. The same lunar calendar followed by the tribes of Israel before. That's not new. nor is the fasting actually. Charity or alms tax is compulsory. It is not optional. There's a minimum that has to be given of your wealth, not of your income, but of holdings that you have for longer than a year, and that's 2.5% of excess wealth is distributed annually to the poor and the needy, those closest to you in need. And they don't have to be Muslims, but it's better to take care of your family first, whether they're Muslim or not, because this is the way that Islam insists to help, you know, others. The Hajj or pilgrimage to Mecca comes once in the life, whenever Allah has made a way easy for you to do it, and it's safe to do so. This is only once, and it's for adults, it's not for children. Although some people take their children, I don't recommend it as being a good idea. You got 3 million people in a place where you can already move, so it's not the most clever thing to do. In any case, that gives you what is the 6 articles of belief, the 5 pillars of action. And so this is the way that was taught by all of the prophets. And I want to talk about that just for a minute. Islam is for Allah, and it's from Allah. It is a verb. In that respect, we understand it means what you do. So if you don't do it, then you can't claim to be part of it. So those who say it, we are Muslim, they might be or they might not be. Then there are those who say we're not Muslim, but they might be or they might not be. Because you don't have to know the Arabic. You don't even have to understand. The idea is, it's your relationship with the Lord. So if your relationship is the one that He wants you to have, and He has ordained it, then you're doing it, and that's what Aslam or Islam means. So we want to be careful to mention that and make it clear that this is not a religion made up by human beings, from the standpoint that we're going to say that, well, let's make up a religion so you, if you're in our group, anybody from Ohio can be in our religion. But rather, it's for all people and all times and all places. This gives us a little bit of an understanding of Islam. And then we have some more online. If you would like to visit our internet website at islamtomorrow.com, you're most welcome to do so. And then also for the replays of these online, you can go to our site, and we have a 24-hour broadcast. You can go into the chat room, and you can also hear broadcasts live like the one you're hearing right now. Additionally, you can go to some of our other programs and online, like that are stored there. For instance, let me give you an example. We did the program here in Ohio. It was called "Does Islam Equal Terrorism?" It was done about 2 or 3 years ago, down at Columbus, Ohio. So here's the website. You can hear it right now. I'm going to lower the volume on it because that's me talking. You're hearing right there what we're doing now. So you see, it runs a little bit behind the actual live broadcast. There is a delay of about 15 to 20 seconds there. So that's a real broadcast, and you're seeing in the chat room. So people can go in there and chat. And this is something that's, I think, of a benefit, especially to new Muslims and people who want to know more about the real Islam. Then also you can learn about why do Muslims say Allah, and what are the pillars of Islam? What about science in Islam? Who is Muhammad? Who is Jesus in Islam? Peace be upon them. Our proofs about women, rights in general, what is Sunna mean, Hadith, etc. There are many subjects, and you can see them over here. You can choose these and go to them. And then they within themselves have even more subjects after that. And as I was mentioning, you can choose to listen or watch, or you can do it from another way is to go to our text form. And if you go to the text form, then that one is where you can actually have chance to do interaction with it. So this is all online, and you can enjoy it. And we hope you do. We hope you benefit from this. So this gives you a little bit of idea. What is Islam? And who are the Muslims? And what are some of the things we believe and do? Now what I'd like to do is just mention that you can anytime write to us and have questions. hopefully we'll have answers. And that's at askislam@aol.com. askislam@aol.com. It takes a little time for us to respond back, but hopefully you'll get a chance to have your question responded to in a decent time. And if the top questions, we place them on this internet website at Islam Always. And some of the subjects on here was a Christian asked us to compare the Bible to the Quran, and we did it. And there's about almost 2,500 people have read that one, as you can see. About a Catholic priest, another one who entered Islam, about 1,300 people read that. And so you can go through here and see what the popular ones on are going on, and then the ones that that are the highest rated ones, etc. And then if you have any category you'd like to add to it, you can write to us and we can do that as well. So this gives you a little idea what we've got going on. And then we want you to also realize that there is a MSA, or Muslim Student Association, here at the university, and they're at every university that I go to. Sometimes they call it Muslim Student Union or Muslim Student Association, something like this. But you can find the Muslims and ask them to give you pamphlets, information, and so on, and then you'll have a chance to see all of these things firsthand, read it for yourself. You can also go to our website and get a free download of the Quran in different languages. That's kind of handy to have too if you want to do some comparison. I will tell you though that the English of the Quran is not the Quran. It has to be in the Arabic to be considered the true recitation, because obviously what was recited was Arabic. But we try to get the meaning of it for you and put it down, make it simple for everybody to catch on to it. So that's it. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're going to wrap it up with that. Those of you online, stay tuned. We've got something else coming up right here at Islam Tomorrow.